Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
From Postcard from the Past in Wardour Studios, this is Podcast from the Past, the Postcard Podcast. This is the podcast where each time we revisit picture postcards that my guests have for some reason held on to, and together we explore what it was that caused them to keep these bumped, dinked, blue-tacked cardboard rectangles. Each time I welcome to the studio two guests, and it's their postcards that act as tiny prompts sending us to memories, mysteries and stories, and sometimes somewhere completely different. I'm Tom Jackson, and I'm delighted to say today my guests are comedian and writer Ben Moore and writer and podcaster Sian Pattinton. Ben and Sian, welcome to Podcast from the Past.
Thank you.
Thank Hello. You.
Now, Sian Pattinton is, there's a few hyphens in here, author, artist, illustrator and podcaster. She's written for a great many publications, including Smash Hits, The Face, Guardian, NME. And she's written a series, two series of children's books, the Agatha Bilk books, about an awful girl who likes setting fire to things.
She
is that
does,
right?
I'm afraid, yeah.
Not to be encouraged.
No.
And also the Magical Peppers series.
Yes, less setting fire in that.
Right. Well, we'll encourage those. and you'll have heard Sian casting the pod in the mighty Big Mouth podcast, which is sort of high culture, low culture. Lots of culture.
And all the stuff in between.
Yeah. And absolutely. It's kind of relentless, isn't it? You're on that, culture doesn't stop.
Oh, it doesn't stop. Even we miss things and have to go back to things or mention stuff. And we're weekly and we do three or four a week plus music plus inserts and commentary and all sorts of things. Yeah.
Well, I take my hat off to you. It's amazing that you can just keep on top of all that stuff.
I think there's just more culture than ever before.
Right.
It's a sort of, maybe it's a sense of pushing it back.
Well, also, you're doing the service because you're filtering it for us a bit.
Yes.
So we don't have to drown in it.
Mm.
Sian comes to the studio today bearing a TW1 postmark.
That's right.
What's that?
That's the postmark for Central Twickenham. That's not even TW2. I mean, there is...
Central Twickenham.
Yes, there's a snobbery about...
Is that good or bad?
Is. Of course there's a snobbery about Twickenham postcodes. TW1 is the main area. I call that the kind of the salt of the earth sort of area, whereas TW9 is Richmond. I mean, that's really posh. TW2 is the green. So TW1 is where the very grounded people of Twickenham come from.
Right.
I mean, you know, why am I saying...
No angles,
you know,
in this.
I used to want to push it away, but now I welcome it towards me.
And there's something of that still in you. You can't rub that off. It's still there.
Yes, the suburban wanting to get out into the city feeling that all good culture comes from, I think we could say. Fear of the country, wanting to go, not Twickenham is the country, but you're almost there, but you're not quite in Hammersmith. You're not quite in Richmond, which is in Surrey anyway. There's something still, I think, that propels us forward if we're always feeling we're striving towards a better culture and that, you know.
But also, you kind of—you very few of us get to choose where we're brought up.
Yes.
You know, your powers of persuasion are very limited at that age.
If any,
yeah.
Does anybody get to choose?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I think those of us who ended up in or found ourselves in the suburbs, you know, you just have to go with it. That's where you are.
Mm. And it wasn't that bad. I used to sort of run off to the Hammersmith Clarendon, if you remember that, before it became a shopping mall, and the bus station where I used to go and see indie bands underage. So it was near enough to go there and get the bus back home.
Very good. So, yeah, close enough to town.
When I was still at school, yeah.
Yeah. I think one thing, and I don't want to go into a huge digression about the suburbs, but when you grow up in the suburbs, as I did too, I always still, and I've commuted to town, I've worked in town for so many years, it's still exciting going into town.
Yes.
And I still end up wanting to go to the shops.
Yeah.
Now, you've been to work, go home. No, I'm just going to look at the shops.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
They don't have them. Well, now in Balham, or as it was down in Sutton, you know.
Yeah. So Twickenham feels very different as well. It's definitely somewhere people go to have children.
Right.
Oxford Street, people don't go to Oxford Street to have children. It does seem a world apart, even though to a visiting alien it would seem very similar.
Yes, you're either very, very poor or very, very rich to be growing up right here.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very good. Now, Ben Moore is a writer and comedian with a diverse career, including but not limited to Weekending, it's going back a bit, Spitting Image, Elastic Planet, Knowing Me, Knowing You with Alan Partridge, Fist of Fun, one-man shows, A Super Collider for the Family, and the play Coelacanth. No, Coelacanth. Coelacanth.
Yeah, Coelacanth.
I think I just failed my dinosaur PhD. And the radio series Undone.
Yeah.
And his journalism has popped up in various places, including The Guardian, The Observer, The Idler. But perhaps most importantly, Ben's latest theatrical venture is the show Who Hears Lost, which is about road trips and families and so on.
And ice cream and ants and party games. And yeah, it's sort of a road trip of the soul. So,
oh my goodness.
It's two people put together, who shouldn't necessarily be together, discovering things that they're more internal than external, shall we say. It's weird. It's hard to describe your own work, right? So,
That's but it exists already and it's carrying on existing, the show. It's
of course.
It's growing and changing and brilliant. Very good. And there's a couple of other projects in your back pocket at the moment. There's Pronoun Trouble.
Yep. That's the miscellaneous subjects that crossed my mind while listening to a lecture on Chuck Jones's Hunting Trilogy, 1951 to 1953, which was nevertheless really good. That's a lecture mainly about Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck cartoons, but also covers things like whether laundrette should be spelt with an E in the middle or not. So laundrette or launderette, and the way Elizabeth Moss spells her name with an S in the middle. You know, weird little things like that. And tons of book tips and tons of things about T-shirts and mugs as well.
This is terrific. And we'll just throw one more back pocket project in. The brilliantly titled Book Talk, Book Talk, Book. Have I got that right?
Absolutely. So it's kind of like Inception for book events, where two authors are stuck within a book festival talk where their moderator hasn't turned up, so they decide to start reading from their work, and it turns out that maybe they're not in control of what's going on, and then artificial intelligence comes into that, washing up techniques come into that, authorship, card tricks as well.
And you're throwing this sort of strange book talk event into real book events.
Exactly. It's with a brilliant comedian called Joanna Neary, and she plays one of the authors. I play the other author.
Very good. Well, the world of book events is very ripe for mucking about with, I think. Yeah, very good. Looking forward to seeing that. Now, Ben comes to us today with a CT5 postmark.
Yep, that's Whitstable in Kent. That's where I grew up. Right on the seafront, on a road called Seawall. We were a big old house that's now been separated up into different flats. But yeah, Whitstable in the 70s and 80s was a little bit more dusty and rusty and clattery. And it's now it's had a lick of paint.
Yes.
And a few places have been opened and it's a little bit different to how it was.
But the beach is the same and the weather's the same.
Well, the beaches are much higher. So
really?
As a flood defence, they raised the level of all the beaches along that sort of seafront down from the harbour. So in the old days, we used to come down all these steps for a swim after school or, you know, at the end of the summer holidays when the sea was actually much warmer. But now there's like one step and everything's just pebbles up to that point. But along the other side of the harbour, we have Tankerton and the street. If you know that lovely sandbank that goes out into the middle of the Thames estuary, it doesn't really get that far, but I have a postcard there.
Oh, this is handy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, goodness.
The street in Tankerton. There's another one.
I don't think I knew what that was called.
Yeah. Lots of beach huts and things like that.
We snuck a postcard in earlier.
Oh, sorry.
No. This is every postcard is a bonus. Mm. And in fact, we should talk about postcards. So, Sean, do you still send postcards?
I have to say that I don't think I do send postcards.
The door is just there.
I know. This is going to make me send more. It really is.
No, but I mean, it's not obligatory. We the postcards that have been sent and received are still with us.
Yes, so. Absolutely. You have to go places to send postcards as well. No, I don't.
Do you don't go anywhere?
Not really.
Day trip.
I would if it was a day trip.
But surely the thinking of you. That was. I saw this and thought of you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd send a card, but I'm going to send postcards now a bit more.
Okay, well, it's not obligatory. Yeah. Really. People sometimes say to me, when a postcard publisher stops trading and people say, oh, that's it for you then. Oh, you must be. I thought, well, you know what? There are millions and millions and millions. Don't worry. They're not going to run out. If we never wrote another postcard, we'd be fine. Now, Ben, how about you? When did you last send a postcard?
Oh, when I was working in Berlin just before Christmas. I was recommended by the friend who we're going to talk about maybe a little bit later to go and visit the extraordinary Soviet War Memorial in East Berlin, in that park. Huge. And I was very grateful to go there and so made sure I found a postcard that had a picture of that and sent a thank you for the tip.
Oh, very good. So you weren't just sending it all made sense because you sent an image of what you'd been recommended from the place where you'd been. This might be the perfect postcard. you can come back. Well, before we see and hear about the cards that Ben and Sian have brought along, give you a quick one of mine. This is, of course, a postcard from the past card, like I do on Twitter and in the book. So I've selected just a bit of the message from the old card. So this is a card of a sort of medieval French town, which is actually, I can see, it's called Le Puy-en-Velay. Does that mean the lentil or something? I don't know. Anyway, 1965. Rather nice card, I think, actually. French ones often have this little sort of logo at the bottom right, in this case, iris.
Yes.
It's got a slight decal on it as well.
Oh, it has, doesn't it? Oh, the more you look, the more intriguing it is.
Now, just the message in this refers to the picture. Often they don't refer to the picture. The message says, I came through here on my way. Alas, that the randomness of old towns will never happen again. When we do it now, it comes out like the Great West Road or Slough. So I just think, you know, you don't have to get a dig in. It's a nice place, but there are other nice places. So, they use that as a weapon to kind of beat up West London.
Mm.
But I'll do you one more quick one. This is a British card. This is York Minster.
Oh, yes.
And as is nearly always the case in pictures of postcards of cathedrals, is a car park featured. It seems to be like the law. You can't show a British cathedral without a car park. This is a old 3.5p stamp, so it must be 1974. The picture looks a lot older. Those cars are ancient. They're all sort of Woolsey's and Humbers and things.
The 60s, isn't it?
And the message just amused me because there's something beautifully grateful and naive about the reference to where they're staying, where these people, in fact, where Mum and Pop are staying. And they're writing to Hounslow in Middlesex, and they say, the guest house is really something. All carpets and beautiful bedrooms. And I thought, I don't know, what were we expecting? Carpets as being a benefit, and bedrooms.
Ah, can I interject here?
Yes.
I went on brownie camp, and we were given by the powers that be, sort of sheets and sheets of writing paper, and we had to write to our parents 3 times at least in the week.
Oh.
Every time.
Paper as well, so more.
Paper, so envelope, stamps. Every time I mentioned the carpet, I came back home, my parents were killing themselves laughing, going, do you like the carpet, did you? Do you like the carpet? There's something about, it was fitted carpets and we didn't have them in our house.
Maybe that's it,
so
not
it
rugs.
Thing. It's a thing.
But these are certainly not kids. It's Mum and Dad writing to
still,
young...
It's the power of a carpet.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
I think maybe when you start sending postcards again, Sian...
Which it'll be from tomorrow.
Exactly. Just try and keep the carpet references in and it's a winner.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. Yeah. I should remind everyone at home listening that images of these cards, all the cards you see and hear about, will be on the blog postcardfromthepast.co.uk so you can see we're not making it up. Now, Sian and Ben, you've got cards of your own that you brought in. Let's start with you, Sian.
Yeah.
What's the first card or cards?
The first card, shall I describe the image?
Oh, yes, please.
It is a gate. It's a very old gate. It looks like a gate near a dry stone wall. And if you look, it says traditional farm gateway. Oh. Photographed by Mike Williams.
Slightly unusual image to put on a card, I would have thought.
It isn't. I mean, what it is
rustic.
It's rustic, but it's also blank. It's not saying, I like you, I hate you. It's just saying, this is a gate. I think it's nice and
emotionally neutral.
And we'll realise why.
Maybe that's a key phrase, I don't know.
Postcard. Do you want me to?
Yeah, to tell us what you got.
Okay. November the 17th, 06, which is 2006. Many thanks for the awful tale of Agatha Bilk, and I'm glad I was some help. Don't know what that refers to. It was funny. No, it looks funny. So I... looks funny isn't funny. So I hope it does well and I'll look forward to reading it. And then it says, all... forwarding? Best... all good wishes. I think it says all good wishes.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Alan Bennett.
Ooh.
Yes. And then there's a little thing to where the address is and it says, I think Betjeman used to live here as a boy. Which is true, he did used to live.
So that's where you are living or were living then?
Were living then, yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, how kind of Alan Bennett to write your card.
I know, but how awful of me to keep bombarding him with my work is what it is.
I suppose I could ask you, how many books did you send him before
exactly.
he responded?
Which is why we have the emotionally neutral gate.
Yeah. And maybe a gate is you closing...
exactly.
I'm closing the gate on this communication.
It is a closed gate. You're right, it's a closed gate. I used to live in Camden. And everyone knew where Alan Bennett lived.
Yes, yes, I remember.
He doesn't live there anymore, but it was Gloucester Crescent, where they all lived and where The Lady in the Van is set many years after. But it was, you would cycle past Alan Bennett's house and sort of try and sort of wave. And I would, and I had a slight Alan Bennett obsession at the time. Still do a little bit. And so what I would
do... So you sent it to his home?
Yes, hence the gate. And I'd sent him some other things as well. In the past, a couple of plays and stuff just to see. I was just trying to get the conversation going. And I sent him a book. Finally, I had actually something published. Don't think he read any Smash Hits features I wrote, but there you go.
You never know.
You never know. And he did look at it and he sent me that postcard back.
Fantastic.
Apropos of nothing, he could have said absolutely nothing at all, but he sent that back and it was just such a delight. As I say, I don't know.
Oh,
I need to frame it.
That is really nice.
Really nice, yes. My dad also collared him at a book signing and said, my daughter keeps sending you things. I mean, thanks, Dad.
It's her.
Yes. And I've got a book signed that says, to Sian, like, thank you for sending me everything, love, Alan Bennett. It said something like, thank you for the play.
Oh.
He knows, I'm sorry. It's the stalking thing. I'm trying not to.
Yeah, but I mean...
there's a real fondness there. And I'm probably his youngest stalker by a few decades.
And to be honest, I think they probably people like him receive things that are far less comfortable than a children's book.
Fine,
you know, don't you think?
Yeah.
And it's kind.
It's lovely, isn't it?
How long was this book
that I wrote?
That one, yeah.
It's about 20,000 words. It's not very long, really.
Yeah.
He could
nice
have read
if
it in
he
an
said,
afternoon.
I enjoyed it. Not. I'm looking forward to reading it.
Pretended to have read it. Yes.
No, I've read it. Come on, Alan.
Yes, but he's an artist. It's about the truth.
Well, so he might not want to infect his own prose style by getting
course,
too wrapped up in yours.
He could have been so inspired by my children's fiction that it all gone downhill for him. And he would have been called a plagiarist, but no. Well, maybe that's it.
No, I think it's lovely.
I do think
that the... well, first observation, postcards exist mainly as thank yous these days rather than days out.
Yeah.
But also I think the world of books is quite good at postcards. Because you get promotional postcards for books and sort
of
thank yous.
It comes with the territory, doesn't it? I mean, rather than an email, he's going to send a postcard, isn't he?
Yeah. But I think it's really sweet. I think it actually is a really wonderful thing to have.
It is.
And reflects really well on him, actually.
Yeah.
I think that's terrific.
Yeah. Can it reflect slightly well on me? Not too bad on me.
How do you mean?
That I'm not a stalker.
how do you mean, John? I lost that bit.
Yeah.
No, I think you did well. You got away with it.
Thank you. That's what I need to know.
No court orders or anything. Right, let's move on to you then, Ben. What's the first thing you got for us?
Should we do this one first or this one?
If we're accusing Sian of vanity, and say, there's even more direct vanity in this one.
Oh,
but show us what you got.
It's sort of, yes. Well, it's from the Best of All series by Whiteholm of Dundee.
Oh, yes.
And
an old publisher, actually, I think.
And on one side, there's this beautiful Scottish landscape. We've got heather, we've got a loch, we've got bushes, we've got mountains. And the caption says, Ben Moore and Stubinian.
So it says Ben Moore. Your name, Ben
Moore.
Well,
it's spelt slightly differently, but the name of the mountain is Ben Moore.
Very good.
And in the caption on the back... oh, it gets better. The majestic Ben Moore, 3,852 feet, and Stubinian... 3,821 feet. That's not quite as majestic. In Perthshire, this view looks southeast from Strathfillan with the village of Crianlarich nestling at the foot of the mountains. And it's from my mother.
Very nice.
And she writes, I couldn't resist the card. I saw your mountain and tried to take a photo. Hope it comes out. Lots of delicious scenery, lots of delicious whiskey and good hotels. I met up with a French family. The daughter speaks English. will ring you when I get home, love, Mum.
Very nice.
And there's another story. So this mountain, some people in Scotland believe that I've made my name up.
Oh, I see.
Because there is the mountain, Ben Moore. And they think, well, that's quite a strange coincidence. It's not. I mean, my father's was one of the Yorkshire Moors. So he's from Yorkshire. No. So it's spelled M-O-O-R without an E. So there's many different spellings, but I'm one of the Yorkshire Moors. But another friend said, oh, they were having a lovely walking holiday with a chap they were seeing at the time, and they lay down, and he pointed out, oh, the lovely views, and look, overlooking us now is Ben Moore. And he reached in for a kiss, and she kind of got a little bit awkward about it. But, yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful postcard. I think, you know, as you said,
it's slightly oversized, isn't it?
It's a little bit.
Good one.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the beauty of your book and the Twitter account is the colours that retain, you know, the printing techniques for those images from the past. They just stay fresh for some reason. They really put the ink into it, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't know. I sometimes think that sometimes they come out sort of both oversaturated, but also terribly faded at the same time. There's something odd about the colour, quality of the colours, I think.
But isn't that memory as well? Sometimes you remember the warmest summer when it wasn't, when it was a little bit cloudy, and sometimes the opposite is true as well.
Yes, yes. And actually, if I'm going to blow, we've all been blowing our own trumpets, what I like about the messages on the postcards is whatever you think about them, they're real. They are really what that person wrote that day. So they might be odd, and they might be strange, and they might be inconsequential, but that is what was going on.
Sure.
So was nostalgia and memory often are very deceptive, and you don't quite, you know, you do falsely remember things all the time.
Sure, but I mean, I hear the voice of my mum when I read her words, and I'm sure the same with the Alan Bennett.
And hear his voice. Oh, you know, I think that there's nothing more poignant, is there, than something like that. And the old thing, she made the effort to send it to you.
I know.
Yeah. She could have said, oh, I'm not bothering with that. Not bothering with him.
Well, my other brothers and sisters don't have mountains because they're not Bens. But, yeah, so, you know, I'm very proud of that. And as I say, you know, it's a lovely memory.
And it ticks the box of being a proper topographical postcard from a place to someone in the family. That's the classic. That's a classic. But you've got something a bit odder here as well.
This fella?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't understand what that is.
During at about the late 90s, turn of the century, before everyone had mobile phones and had all the texting and emails, before, you know, used to ask people, are you on email? Which people used to say, are you on the telephone? But this was the period, and all bars and nightclubs and cafes would have a tray of postcards. They'd have a unit by the door with publicity postcards going down
like
and down.
Oh, yeah, a boomerang.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. And they'd all be different images and different things. And this one's from 2002, and it's part of the world's largest signed and numbered limited edition artwork. And it was made for the art show, a new 10-part series on Channel 4, starts Friday the 27th of September with a photography weekend. And its number, 800,000... It's number 885,906 of 1 million, and it just says the world's largest signed and numbered limited edition artwork.
Okay, so it's a promo for a Channel 4 programme, I get that. Do you think someone... were they all different numbers in the rack?
They would have been. Yeah, so I've got at least I've got another one, yeah. I mean,
don't try and collect them all.
No. Well, who knows how many there's still there?
I'm tempted.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a couple. I have a little box of the boomerang. That was exactly the company, and various different promotion techniques were done. And you didn't have to put them in the post. You could just, you know, use them just as like calling cards as well.
It's a really cool piece of PR, isn't it? Someone at an agency definitely came up with that.
Yeah.
Also, what I like about it, it's trying, is it not, to mimic the post office lettering font with the red.
I thought that's what it was when I first saw it.
Yes, it looks like a while you were out card.
But did we get so many of those in those days? Ooh. Now, we get them several times a week.
Yeah.
Because we didn't Amazon, and I think they didn't have the red on them in those days, but I could be wrong.
No, maybe they didn't. But it now looks like that, doesn't it?
Definitely. And even with the windows to be filled in.
Yes, and it does have the authorised signatory. So there's a number of artists, and I guess they all signed a few each.
Yeah.
Do you think this is signed by an artist?
It's
thought it might be someone from Channel 4.
It's got all the names of all the artists that I assume.
So who's that then, do you think?
Well,
This could be worth a fortune.
Someone with an I in their name?
Do we even know these artists anymore?
Mm. When it goes online...
When it goes online, you're
going to have to see what the response is.
Yeah. Mm. Absolutely. And then the bids will start coming in for you and you'll be able to retire.
I think.
Very, very good. Well, two rather oddly differing cards there. Really interesting. Thank you very much. A quick card from me now. This is... you're talking about the saturation of colours. This is John Hind, who really were the best for this brightness. They used to really pump up the colour.
Was that yellow?
Yeah, really amazing. And unusually, they were one of the few publishers who actually put a name for the photographer each time because they considered the photographers to be that
serious.
They put
a name for the people they've taken a picture of, didn't they?
No, and someone always wore... Well, they'd been put there specially. Someone always wore red in a John Hind.
As
a sort of foreground interest. They were quite artfully done. And anyway, this was sent in 1970, so the colours held up well. Mm-hmm. Sent to Gloucester from Torquay, I think. It's a picture for the listener of the harbour at Torquay, the inner harbour, since you ask. And the message is, it has turned rainy, so I treated myself to a new, expensive... in speech marks, hairdo this morning and spent most of my ready cash on a shopping spree. Bad for my bank balance, but jolly good for the morale. I thought, what do? The weather turns bad. Get your hair done.
Hairdo.
So that was really sweet.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Podcasts from the Past, the Postcard Podcasts. And my guests today are comedian Ben Moore and writer, illustrator, podcaster Sean Pattenden. And we've received a postcard.
Ooh.
And this postcard is from Nora Powell in Glossop in Derbyshire. And Nora says, the answer is Bruce Willis. I'm afraid, Nora, that's the wrong answer, so have another go next time. Now, on with the podcast, Sean. You've got, I think, two for one here.
Yes, I have.
What have you got for us?
They're both from my mum.
We're doing quite sort of familial cards, though, aren't we? But that's okay.
We are, aren't
we?
It's postmarked 3rd of August, 1982, from Twickenham, 2:15 p.m. When they actually put the time.
Oh my goodness, that is precise.
Now Twickenham had a main post office, so it would stamp the time, and you would have a few a day.
Yes.
This is a big postal thing that's now been turned into luxury flats, of course, by
the
bridge. Yes, indeed. And she's put first class on it and underlined it twice. And I really like that when you have to tell the post people what. But the funny thing is, where's the stamp gone? I've obviously taken it. It probably wasn't marked. And I've taken it and used it on something.
Oh, on the hope that it wasn't sort of electronically franked. You could just.
Yeah. And I used to do that and then sellotape over them, and me and my pen pal friends would just use the same stamp all the time.
We'll put that on the same list as stalking.
Over the kettle.
Abuse of the Queen's Mail.
Yeah. It was fun at the time.
I thought you were going to say you collected stamps and kept it.
No.
No.
Okay, so we're obviously on holiday. Me, my sister and my dad. He says, "Dear Sean, thanks so much for the PC." That's postcard. "I'm missing you all too." Aww.
So she's responding to something.
So I must have said, "Missing you." Brilliant. And I would have put, "And the cat." So she hasn't mentioned that because she would have been annoyed that she got in the same breath as the cat. "I tried to get Smash Hits today, but it doesn't seem to be coming out till the 5th of August. Can you see the changes wrought on our hometown? Love to you, Esther, Dad and Elspeth." And because she sent me a postcard of Twickenham, which is quite saturated. And this postcard presumably says King Street, Twickenham. Isn't dated, but it's 70s.
So the changes are what subsequent to that picture? The picture is the old image.
This is old Twickenham. Yes. The changes would have been 1982. Which is the past now, but there aren't many changes, Mum. It's like, yeah, there's a bus. Yeah.
That bus has moved.
Yeah, there's a different shop. You know, that sort of thing. But I love that they're wrought on our hometown.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
Wrought on our hometown.
And it's quite negative, isn't it? Changes are wrought.
Changes are wrought.
They're not improvements.
No, no, they're wrought on what was something glorious and golden. But it's still our hometown. This would be the point. 1982, I'm 11. So I'm thinking I'm not that pleased with my hometown. I'd really much rather it was Hammersmith.
But it's your hometown for a while yet.
Yes, absolutely. So she said, "Love to you, Esther and Dad, and my sister and my dad, Elspeth." She signed it Elspeth.
Is that her name?
Yes. Well, it's a good thing that it's her name. Her name was Carol or something like that. But she hasn't signed it Mum. But we get on to the next one.
Is that because you're getting too... She thinks you're too grown up suddenly, or you're going through a phase?
I have no idea. Or maybe she was just, you know, churning out loads of postcards, signing them Elspeth, and I was just one of a list of
many. It can be done, can't it? You sort of just signing stuff.
Maybe there were a lot of changes wrought to our hometown that month.
And your home life.
Yes. And suddenly, yes, she signed
Elspeth. But I need to ask you about the Smash Hits, because...
Yes.
So you were a fan.
Yes, I obviously got Smash Hits at the time, and I had obviously, I must have written her a postcard that said, "Miss you, how's the cat doing? Can you get me Smash Hits when we come back?" And or can you send me Smash Hits because I am so bored in Norfolk and there's nothing to do.
You need to read those Duran Duran lyrics.
Yeah, something like that. Look at Picture of Wham or something. So she's tried to find it and not been able to. And yes, this is obviously precursors the time when I wrote to them and said, "Can you give me a job?"
It's fascinating that your sort of your career in life is already being mapped out in W.H. Smith's Twickenham.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So that's that one. And then she sends me, 12 years later, a postcard that she's obviously put in an envelope because it's not addressed and it hasn't got a stamp in it. That was to stop thieving so the postcard didn't get lost in the post.
Okay. Yeah. That's a weird image. What is that?
It's an image. It's by Carol White, and it's called Allegro Strepitoso, 1932.
Art.
It's art from the Tate Gallery.
32.
And it's a lion escaped from the zoo attacking two girls who don't look unlike myself and my sister at the time, brunette and a blonde.
That's amazing.
I know.
I've never seen that.
It's good, isn't it? It would have reminded her of Stanley Spencer, who is
one of our
favourite painters.
It's got a bit of that going on, definitely.
Yes, which is why she probably would have chosen it. But I like the fact it's a lion mauling what looks like a young lady, which I was at the time. Thanks, Mum. Dear Sean, tried to get in touch with you telephonically today.
Telephonically.
She didn't try and phone me. She tried to get in touch with me telephonically with no luck. She's coming out quite poetic, my mum, isn't she?
Yes, good.
Wrought on our hometown. So I'm writing the... Writing Ree, the boring old insurance for van. We both had vans. Please can you send a cheque made out to insurance company by Friday for £170.33. Thanks. Speak to you soon. And this is the difference. Heart. No kisses. Mummo.
Mummo.
Now, Mummo is how we know the woman. She's not Elspeth. She's Mummo. And this comes from me and my sister used to get very bored waiting for her to come home from work in the holidays. And so because I had pretensions to be a playwright, which is why I was badgering Alan Bennett as well, I wrote a play called Waiting for Mummo, as in Waiting for Godot.
Yes, okay.
And from that point, she was known as Mummo, as in Godot, as in that's how it...
So
she's still
Mummo
from that.
That was a name you created at that moment, and then it stuck.
Yeah, I mean, obviously she's dropped the T, but yes, Mummo stuck from that play.
Oh, it was Mummo with a T on the end.
Well, Godot, Mummo, I mean, come on. Yes, yes, yeah. Yeah, so what I found interesting, she's Elspeth there, but she's reverted back to Mummo, which is she's in a better mood in that postcard.
Is she still with us?
She is.
And is she Mummo now?
She's Mummo now, yeah.
Oh, very good. Yeah. And I was interested that this is being used for such practical purposes. It's like sending a message to go and buy a magazine, sending a message to
do your insurance that's running out. She's obviously getting reminders.
That one really would be an email now, or a phone call, or a text.
It would. You wouldn't send a postcard about paying Grace-eyed Adelson £170 and 33p.
And it's probably because money was mentioned that she put it in the envelope. Because it's a bit sort of, you don't want to be being too flash in front of the postman about the fact that you can afford £170 for your insurance.
Yeah, in 1992. Yeah, maybe that's why. But you never know, she might have sent something with it. She used to send me chocolate and stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
Stop.
There's no hint of... No. Like maybe a bit of aero, I think. Maybe. I don't know. Very good. Well, that's very... Thank you for sharing Mummo and Elspeth with us, Sian. Ben, you're going to take us somewhere very strange, I think.
I am. This postcard, I obviously bought it from the location and never sent it and kept it as a souvenir.
Real souvenir.
Now, obviously, for most buildings, if you buy a souvenir postcard of the building, you get a picture of the outside or maybe a room inside. For the Madonna Inn in San Luis Obispo, California, they have chosen an interior shot for the front of the postcard, and it happens to be the gents' lavatory.
Oh.
For a very good reason. Here on the back it says, it's 100 Madonna Road, San Luis Obispo, California. And I remember this would have been 1995. Wine cellar men's room, the most talked about men's restroom in the world. Famous for its massive rock waterfall and giant clamshell sinks. Photography, copyright 1992, Phyllis Madonna. So I was on a road trip with a couple of chums. Stuart Lee, the comedian, and Kevin Eldon, comedian, actor, brilliant actor. And we were travelling around.
That must have been interesting.
It was an extraordinary couple of weeks. There's a whole story in that as well. We started off in San Francisco. We made our way into through Yosemite down to Tucson, Arizona, and then made our way back via Los Angeles up the coast. And we obviously stopped at the Madonna Inn. I think what happened is the engineer who was hired by the state of California to build that highway was granted a piece of land along the highway. And he chose to build a motel on this land and gave his wife carte blanche to decorate any room, all the rooms, in different styles. So you have a Louis XIV palatial bedroom, you have a sort of Tudor room, you have...
Oh, so no uniform style? This is all really...
Literally every room is different. There's a cave prehistoric room as well. And the gents' toilet is notoriously famous. I mean, this is the days before everyone had webs and, you know, all these smartphones and everything. And you had to book so many things in advance. You had to plan in advance. You had to buy a guidebook and make your trips. And I was doing a little bit of travelling at the time using Greyhounds. And, using one of those calling cards that you'd have to, long-distance calling cards where you'd scrape off the number as a code and that was credit.
God.
And book way in advance to stay in motels and youth hostels and all these brilliant places. So I did lots of travelling on those buses at the time around the States and met up with Stuart and Kevin in San Francisco. And as I say, we went around. We ended up at a fantastic restaurant called Pea Soup Anderson's in California as well. And their signature dish, of course, was a bowl of pea soup, which was extraordinary. I'm sure these places are still there. And the Madonna Inn is one of those landmarks that, on all the guidebooks, if you're driving halfway between Los Angeles and San Francisco, or the other way around as well, you would have a comfort break and you would enjoy these facilities.
So you didn't stay there?
We didn't, no. We were literally on the road and we needed a break. And, of course, it was kind of planned that we'd make our break.
I was going to say, imagine stumbling on that. That would be like a dream. That would be very odd.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm sure nowadays, they'll pop up on the clever map thing on your phone and just say, this sort of thing like,
roadside
the algorithm.
Attraction ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
And could you go and look at the rooms? Because presumably people are spending a lot of money to stay there.
I agree, yeah. No, we didn't. I don't think we did. I think we just sort of looked at the board outside and the other postcards, and I'm sure were on display.
I didn't quite get the detail. You did or didn't use the toilet?
We definitely did.
Excellent.
We definitely felt refreshed.
All three of you? I like a bit of gossip.
Whether we're all in a row or one at a time, I can't remember. Okay, but the
that's good information.
But the huge clamshell sink basins are extraordinary as well.
Yeah, you expect Venus to arise out of
them. Yeah, and I really do hope, although it's, as I say, 25 years ago and onwards, it's still this extraordinary landmark that, you know, you'd want to pop into and either rest your bones in any way you feel fit.
It's so American, isn't it? That whole sort of, let's just do it and we'll, taste be damned, we'll just make it happen. I think that's really exciting.
But, yeah, well, I mean, it's got its own taste, I think, and it's sort of mid-20th century, futuristic, past, but also celebrating the present of that, you know, of those dates.
Can I ask if the rocks, are they polystyrene rocks? Are they real rock? That's rock, isn't it?
I think it is real rock. Yes, exactly. And the water flows from the top of the room all the way down. So, Sean, you wouldn't know this, but, you know, a gent's toilet, they tend to be below head height. And but this is all the way up to the ceiling.
You could almost have a shower in there if it wasn't real
wine. I would not recommend it, but you could, yes.
But also, if you thought you really should go in there but weren't quite in the mood to use it, you soon would be.
Absolutely. It's an inspiration. And they've still got the phone number for reservations on the back of the postcard, so I really do hope. I've not been back, but...
No, never go back. Never go back.
Well, no, but...
It'll never be the same.
But I really hope that it's still providing great comfort to travellers along that route.
Yeah, and I hope it still holds the record as the finest restroom.
Yes, that's most important.
Very hard to judge.
It's like, what was it, the Don DeLillo, the most photographed barn in America? You know, one of his books, the people were driving down the road and they'd keep seeing signs saying, 5 miles to the most photographed barn in America, 3 miles to the most... I think, well, we've got to stop and take a photo of the most photographed barn in America.
Oh, yes. So it creates its own myth.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Postcards do quite like sort of extremes. I've got lots of different cards of the smallest house in Britain. Mm. I don't think they're always the same house either. Anyway, it's not a great thing to be proud of, is it, the smallest house in Britain?
I don't know.
Biggest would be nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but there's always someone going to have a bigger house than
you. Yeah. Some toilets made out of old clamshells. Well, both of you, thank you so much for coming along and sharing your cards today.
Thank you.
I've
said it before, I never know where the cards are going to take us. I'm delighted that you shared them with us and me and the listeners. Another quick reminder for everyone at home, we will be having pictures of these cards, including, you know, the lavatory. a first, by the way, for this programme, on the website, postcardfromthepast.co.uk, including one last one from me in the past postcard style. This is a card from Nerja in Spain. Don't know why I find that hard to say. And it was sent to Highgate in North London. And actually, you were talking about how you had to plan before we had mobiles. I think this is a card before people had... Maybe it is a mobile, but maybe it's a phone. It says, it was good to speak to you on Watty's phone. Watty must be a person. She says, she does enjoy it now, although she never wanted a telephone before. I thought, wow, that's opening a door in your life, isn't it? Mm. To have a telephone, having not had a telephone. I mean...
Having eschewed a telephone. Having said no to a telephone.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
Really strongly.
Too much fuss.
No.
Well, before we let Sean and Ben back out into the sunny-ish, cloudy Soho afternoon, I've got one more postcard for you both. It's customary for us to end the show with one of these. I don't know if you will have seen one of these before, but perhaps you could use your powers of description to tell me what it is.
Oh, it's got writing on the back.
Is it a piece of music? Is it a record?
It is a record.
So you can put... There's a hole in the middle of it, which you put on a record turntable. Mm. There's two China figures on the front.
Oh, that's what they are, yes.
So I assume it plays a piece of music that connects with the China figures?
I think there is very little connection in this case, because this is a Polish record. And although there are records as postcards where the image, where they're made to be postcards, as far as I can tell, in Poland they took existing postcards. This postcard is actually from the museum, I think, in Warsaw. But someone else another company takes the postcard and then lays on it this incredibly thin film of acetate or something with record grooves on it.
I thought you were going to say of acid house. And if you play this strange Polish thing, you get boom, boom, boom.
Well, shall we find out whether you do or not? Young Tom over there has the technology. Quite sad. Do you speak Polish?
No, but it's very evocative, isn't it? I mean,
it is.
Do you know the film Cold War?
Yes, very well, yes. This is actually, I happen to know, I've done a bit of research because my wife speaks Polish, and this is by a very well-known Polish singer called Mieczysław Fogg, F-O-G-G, and he was a massive star during and after the war,
right.
And he may well have actually his songs in Cold War, I think he probably does, and it's a song to the mother, so, you know, you can feel a bit of that going on. Mother, or mama. But, you know, I say the same thing when we play this every time. It's pretty good for a piece of cardboard.
Isn't it fantastic? Yeah. I rather love it. It reminds me of Letter from an Unknown Woman. That kind of, you know, very chintzy European music that follows them as they have a romantic time.
Yes.
And then he dumps it.
It's pretty good. Anyway, as the porcelain dolls continue to rotate at exactly 33 revolutions per minute, that's it for this time on Podcast from the Past. I'd very much like to thank my first-class guests for sharing the postcards from their pasts, Ben Moore and Sean Pattinton. Thank you both.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Bye for now. O matce pieśń, to pieśń przez łzy, to pieśń bez słów, to cały świat. You can see more postcards with their messages posted every day on Twitter. Do follow me, @PastPostcard. And you can buy the book, Postcard from the Past, by me, Tom Jackson, at Amazon and all good booksellers. And if you're looking for podcast production, check out wardorstudios.co.uk.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.